on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
Alrighty, guys, that was Pull Up Tay on the intro. Make sure you guys stream his latest project, Life Ain't Fair, and tap into his new single on YouTube, New, featuring Nas B. My guy, Pull Up Tay, always bringing the heat on the intro, man. We definitely been getting, I've been getting some comments about my guy, Pull Up Tay, man, so I'm glad y'all are enjoying his intro music, man. But before we get into it, you know, today, man, make sure you guys are liking this podcast, subscribing to this podcast, sharing this podcast with your friends, family, any Hoops fans you know, or even if they're not a Hoops fan, you know, they're just a fan of some young black brothers trying to get it, you know what I'm saying, share it with them, and make sure you guys show us some love, man. It goes a long way. But nonetheless, we have another episode of the Auto Bid here. We're going to have an interview with DMV's own and George Mason forward, AJ Wilson, coming to you guys later on. That's my guy from way back in the day, man. He's having a great senior season at George Mason right now. So we'll get that to you guys in a little bit. But as always, you know, we got some games to talk about, man. But Ace, man, what's up, man? Talk to me, man. How you doing today, my guy?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. Feeling great. You know, it's always great. You can come on and talk about college basketball. You know, so I'm excited for this episode. Like Drew said, we had a great interview later on. My guy, AJ Wilson, some classic stories. So let's get into it, man. Let's get it.
Yes, sir. So first thing I got to get off my chest, man. And we mentioned this a little bit last week, man. But I mean, the A-10 is absolutely destroying themselves. I mean, when we're talking about this non-conference bids, and you know, I know you're going to get into this a little bit later as far as the Mountain West, but I just kind of want to share this tidbit here, you know, just a little example of how the A-10 is absolutely shooting themselves in the foot right now. So, Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Utah State. Now, this was before a loss to UNLV, so this is the caveat. This week came out before that game. But Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Utah State have gone a collective 25-0 against the rest of the Mountain West Conference and have not yet lost a game to a team outside the top 100 or KenPom top 100. Just might be a four-bid league if that trend continues in another month. That's a major league. Mountain West doing a great job with the top teams, not losing to the bottom teams in that league. Now, my guy Kevin Sweeney, you know, kind of gave a little tidbit, said mid-major leagues maximize bids by not letting the top lose to the bottom. Mountain West passing that test with flying colors so far. Now, you want to know a conference that's not passing that test with flying colors? The Atlantic 10. Because this past weekend, LaSalle goes to Richmond and hands the Spiders a loss 84-78. Now, this is a LaSalle team, man. Obviously, you know, very well-coached team. You know, Ashley Howard's a great coach, and they got some young guys that are fighting to kind of establish the culture over there. But, I mean, this is a LaSalle team that I saw play George Mason. I mean, got absolutely obliterated by about 30 points. I mean, it shot the ball. Didn't think they were 18-52 from the field that game. I mean, and they go on the road to Richmond and beat one of the top teams in the Atlantic 10. This is not a recipe for success if you're the Atlantic 10, man. I mean, that game was a game that you absolutely cannot have. LaSalle team has already gone on the road and beat Dayton. Now they go on the road and beat Richmond. I mean, I don't really want to say they're done as far as at-large bid, but, I mean, they're as good as done at this point when you're talking about at-large bid. I think that it will take an astronomical run and finishing in that 10 to get them back in that discussion, man. But, you know, when you drop games like that, man, it is extremely, extremely tough.
Yeah, no, for sure. The A-10 is definitely in trouble. We spoke about this a lot on this podcast. And another one happened just last night. I mean, Dayton goes to St. Louis and beats St. Louis on his home court coming off a pause. I mean, Dayton is an interesting team because, like you said, they lost to LaSalle. They also have a loss to, I want to say, like UMass or somebody else beat them.
They would have lost too. I'm going to get to in a second.
But then they went and they beat St. Louis, who's a top 25 team. Obviously, St. Louis hasn't played a game in over a month, so definitely was a factor in that one. But I mean, St. Louis is arguably the best team in that league. I mean, that's the highest ranked team, the only team ranked in the top 25 right now. And they lose to Dayton, who is for if we're being honest, they're probably not going to be NCAA tournament team this year. So, I mean, the A-10 is definitely in trouble, man. I mean, I don't see them getting – I think VCU still has a good shot. They don't really have any bad losses on their resume right now. So I would still give them a shot at the at-large. Say Bonaventure trending in the right direction as well, because obviously they're you know, 8-1 on the season, 6-1 in the A-10. The only thing about the Bonnies is that they don't have any non-conference wins. You know, they beat Hofstra, a team – Hofstra win, which obviously at the Hofstra got swept by Northeastern and got some other CAA games. That win isn't looking as impressive as it once did. And then they have a victory against Akron, you know, which is, you know, I mean, it's an okay win, but it's not – that's not a win that's going to move the needle at all, you know, for a, say, Bonnies team. So I think they have to – Bonnies, they're going to have to keep winning some games in the A-10 if they want to kind of get themselves into the at-large category. But the A-10 is definitely in grave danger. Even – I think I tweeted this over there. They're approaching one big territory. I mean, if St. Louis were to – lose the A-10 tournament, they can still get an at-large bid at this point in time right now. But if they keep losing games to the bottom half of that conference, St. Louis isn't getting an at-large bid. Like you said, Richmond, I'm pretty sure, is at this point all but out of the at-large conversation. So that leaves, you know, VCU, St. Bonaventure, maybe, you know. But, I mean, and that's you know, wishful thinking probably. So A-10 is definitely in trouble for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Dayton goes to St. Louis and gets that win over St. Louis, man. But it's crazy because a few days before that, Dayton got smacked, absolutely smacked by VCU. I mean, they lost 66-43 in a game that was like, I believe it was 66-33 or 30 before VCU pulled all their subs. I think. VCU pulled a sudden Dayton going for like a 6-0 or 8-0 run at the end of the game to make it look a little bit more respectable, even though a 23-point loss is still not very good. But, I mean, VCU absolutely destroyed Dayton. Bones Highland goes for 28. You know, and VCU held Dayton at 30% shooting from the floor and 15% shooting from three. Mind you, they finished the game with 43. But like I said, for about 39 minutes, these guys were in the 30s, like 30s for the game. So, I mean – It's crazy, man. That team could basically, you know, score 30 points, you know, throughout the majority of a Division I game, and then go and beat a ranked team like St. Louis the very next time out. So, I mean, like I said, man, the A-10 is definitely struggling right now, man. They're gonna need their top teams to really rally here in the second part of the season. Now that we're going into February now, you know, we already know conference tournament time is in March, so. I mean, this last month of the season, they're going to need a stellar performance out of their top teams if they're hoping to really have a chance at being a multi-bid league.
Not for sure. I don't know how likely that is just because we know, you know, how difficult it is to win on the road in college basketball. Conference play is treacherous. You know, it's a monster, you know what I mean? And you're seeing that across all leagues, you know, the Big Ten, the ACC, the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 it's a mid-major podcast, but, I mean, we've seen Oklahoma pick up two huge wins this week. I mean, teams are winning games, man. Texas just lost after that last night to Oklahoma, and after that comes out to Oklahoma beat Kansas. I mean, it's hard to win on the road in conference play, man. So, and there's some sneaky. There's some teams in the A-10 that are sneaky, man. Like a team like a UMass can get you on any given night. Obviously, we've seen them beat URI. Even George Mason is sitting at 4-4 right now. You know, they're a feisty team. You know, they aren't you know, the most glamorous team. They don't have any like, you know, superstar type players, but they have a lot of good players, a lot of solid players. Whereas if they catch you on a bad night, they can definitely, you know, catch a few losses. So it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough treading in the A-10, but definitely something to watch. But, I mean, if I were to put a number on it, I would say the A-10 probably gets two teams in the tournament. If I were to put a number on it right now.
Yeah, for sure, man. Definitely going to be interesting, man. But to the MAC, man, we also had some MAC action or some MAC-tion, as some say. We had a big time matchup between St. Peter's and Siena. St. Peter's was still that first game, you know, at Siena. You know, Casey Ndefo has 16 points. You know, a guy, despite the loss, Jordan King with 21 again in that game for, I think, the third straight game going over 20. So, I mean, I think Siena has found maybe not even their third option. I mean, he's looking like he might be a second option, or maybe, I mean, he's outscored Pickett in the last couple of games, but he has 21 and lost for Siena in that game. But then, you know, Siena rebounds in what my guy Kevin Sweeney called perhaps the ugliest game he's ever seen. Siena gets the win in night two to get a split. But that was a great series, man. Siena still, you know, sitting atop the MAC at 7-1. That was their first loss, you know. Nonetheless, you know, Siena finally gets that first loss, and St. Peter's kind of able to steal one, you know, against the Saints, man. But you know, what do you think about that, Ace?
Yeah, man. I mean, how about that? How about game two? Siena wins 47-40. I mean that is the first half score in 90% of college basketball games this year. I mean, but we know how pesky of it. You said what?
Oh, rocks at the rim.
Right? I mean, we know how pesky of a team defensively St. Peter's is, man. But, I mean, Jesus, 47-40, final score. I feel bad for whoever was watching that game, honestly. I mean, that must have been – I mean, literally, St. Peter's shot 26.8% from the floor, and Siena shot 32.6%. I mean, St. Peter's was 15 for 56. Siena was 15 for 46. So, you only got a 30 – they only made 30 field goals the entire game. I mean, so that was the definition of a rock fight. Siena was able to come out on top, but I think it's a great sign that you can go out and win a game like that. In a game that you only make 15 field goals. I mean, that shows a lot about your team to be able to win a game when the ball is not going in the basket. Like, it's a good St. Peter's team. This St. Peter's team is good. I mean, most people believe them to be a top three team in the MAC. And for them to be able to come out on top in a game like that shows the character of this team. So that was a huge win for Siena. Definitely always want to try to avoid getting swept. So I do like the way that Santa was able to play to reroute in that game too.
Now for sure, man. So I mean that was a big game we saw in the MAC over the weekend. You know, Quinnipiac was also able to earn a split against Niagara. You know, we had said that, you know, we had thought that, to be honest, Quinnipiac probably needed a sweep, you know, but you know, they get the split, and then they head to, you know, Canisius this weekend in the game that's, again, you know, a tough place to play, you know, on the road and on Buffalo. You know, Marist and Ryder ended up splitting, Quinnipiac and Niagara ended up splitting. So, you know, every game in the MAC this weekend ended up being a split, you know. So again, man, it's going to be tough to get to, man. So, yeah, at some point, you know, as the home team at least, you know, definitely want to try to protect your home court and try to get to, man. But, you know, we know that that's just going to be tough sledding going on.
Not for sure, man. I mean, I think some wins that I saw that were surprising. You mentioned a little bit one earlier, but UNLV over Utah State. I mean, Utah State was a team that was undefeated in the Mountain West. UNLV was able to beat Utah State to snap that 24-0 streak for those top four teams. But they're going to play again tonight. In game two, so we're gonna see if Utah State can bounce back and get that split with UNLV. That's from the Mountain West. That's a sneaky good league. It really is, and we're gonna talk a little bit about that later. But that league, I think they have a legitimate chance to get four teams in a tournament. I mean, San Diego State was a team that ranked in the top 25 in the beginning of the year. Utah State is a team that has some great non-conference wins. Boise State, you know, they have won over BYU in the non-conference, and they're undefeated right now in the Mountain West. And then obviously you have Colorado State, who was the winner over San Diego State earlier in the year. I mean, they have a legitimate shot at getting 14th in the tournament. I mean, I don't know if that's going to last going forward just because of the fact that, you know, like you said, it's hard to win games on the road. So you go to a UNLV, you go to a New Mexico, you go to a Nevada, you know what I'm saying? Those are all games that you could potentially lose. So we'll keep an eye on that league. But that was a huge win, I think, for UNLV to be able to get that one over Utah State. I mean, UNLV is not going to the tournament or anything like that, but I think it just shows you the fact that, you know, it's going to be tough for a lot of these teams to kind of run the table, or, you know, conference plays are always just so unpredictable. So that was a win that definitely stuck out to me. Another team I want to make sure that I shout out is our alma mater, the Cobham State Eagles, man. We're going to talk a little bit more about them a little later in the show, but they were able to get a huge sweep this weekend over Norfolk State. Drew and I were there for that game, and, you know, they got some much-needed revenge because, you know, last year we were supposed to play them in the MEAC tournament. Norfolk had swept us the first two games that we played them. I unfortunately couldn't play in that second game at Norfolk because I actually tore a bunch of ligaments in my ankle. So I played the first game, but couldn't play the second game. But our boys over there avenged that loss to them last year, and they got a big sweep this weekend. So like I said, we're going to talk a little bit more about them later in the show, but definitely got to give a shout-out to my guys over there in West Baltimore for getting that done and sweeping Norfolk this weekend. But I want to talk about the Patriot League, man. I mean, Navy is an impressive 7-1 right now in the Patriot League. I mean, that's a team that I definitely did not expect to get off to the start that they had. They're sitting at 10-2 overall. They were able to get a split this weekend against Army, who we talked about on this show before, obviously, because Army has a win over Colgate earlier in the year. They split that two-game series, obviously, with Colgate, who is a top 25 team in the net rankings right now out of the Patriot League. So the Patriot League hasn't really gotten their due diligence, if you ask me. I mean, Navy, the team, like I said, they're 7-1 the Patriot. They're 10-2 overall. Colgate, obviously, the top 25 team in the net. They're sitting at 5-1 in the Patriot League right now. And then Army, who's 9-4 on the season and 5-3 in the Patriot League. I think the Patriot League is an underrated league right now. There's a bunch of good teams. And I think the committee realized that, obviously, having Colgate ranked so high in the net. So I definitely want to shout out to those guys. BU, obviously, also was able to get a big sweep this weekend over Lafayette. To get to 3-5 in the Patriot League. Obviously, we talked a little bit about them earlier, dropping 4 in a row, 2 Colgate and 2 Army, both of those being at home. So they were able to get a big weekend sweep over Lafayette this weekend to get them 3-5. But the Patriot League is definitely a league that is a little bit underrated, man. Navy's a good team, Army and Colgate. We're going to see Colgate and Army actually go at it again this weekend as the Patriot League is back to the top of their schedule. You're going to get BU, Holy Cross, Colgate, Army. Obviously, that first weekend, we saw Colgate and Army in that bizarre two-game series where Colgate won the first game 101-57. I mean, a 44-point margin in game one. But then Army comes back and wins game two on the next night, further highlighting how hard it is to win two games in college basketball back-to-back. Obviously, with Colgate winning the first game by north of 40 points, and then losing that next game by 2. But definitely wanted to give the Navy midshipmen some love, man. They're at 7-1, 10-2 overall on the season. They have a victory over GW, obviously, earlier in the year. They have a victory over Mount St. Mary's, two local teams. So I wanted to make sure that I – oh, they also beat Georgetown, a Big East team. Obviously, Georgetown isn't having, you know, the year that they expected to have. But anytime, you know, you can beat a local team like Georgetown, it's huge for them. So for them to be sitting here at 10-2 and 7-1, I definitely want to give them their respect. They are for sure a player in that Patriot League.
Yeah, man. Okay. Shout out to the midshipmen over there at Navy, you know, proving that they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, you know, over there in the Patriot League. Man, I also want to talk about the CAA, man. Obviously, me and you watched Towson. You know, they were able to get a sweep over UNC Wilmington at home last weekend. But, you know, they obviously go to Hofstra this weekend on the road, and they dropped 2 straight to the Pride. You know, I was hoping that Towson would have been able to get a split there just because, you know, in order for them to really cement themselves at the top of that CAA. But, you know, they ended up dropping those 2 to Hofstra. You know, kudos to Hofstra for getting that done. But I think the game that really stuck out to me, man, was James Madison was able to hand Northeastern, you know, their first conference loss of the season. I think that was huge, man, for JMU to be able to get a split there. And, you know, in that game, we had former Mount St. Mary's guard, PG County native Vado Morse, go for 30 up there versus Northeastern, man. So definitely quite the performance, you know, for James Madison. Being able to go up there and knock off Northeastern, man. So that was kind of the biggest win that I saw in CA this weekend with that could have some potential implications, you know, down the line.
Yeah, for sure. That was a shocker too. I mean, JMU, we might have to start giving them a little bit of credit, man. I mean, right now they're 2-1 in the CA. They have a win over Towson and now a win over Northeastern. They're actually gonna play today. JMU and Towson are gonna play today. JMU obviously beat Towson earlier in the year without Zane Martin. And Zane Martin, I'm pretty sure he'll play this time around, so that's going to be a whole different game. If JMU can beat Towson tonight, or it's just today at 4 o'clock, if they can come out of that game tonight with a sweep over Towson, I think we're going to definitely have to start talking, you know, then put some respect on their name. I think Towson needs to get this one tonight to get the 3-3 in the CAA. I think that'll be huge for them, obviously. Orders of being restored a little bit in the CAA. Hofstra's at 5-3. Northeastern's at 5-1. I still like Northeastern as the top team in that league, but definitely a surprising result for JMU to get that win over Hofstra for sure.
Nah, man. I think with Zay Martin back, I think Towson does need to try to get a split there after dropping that first one, to kind of, you know, keep their name sort of at the top of that CAA, at least, you know, in fighting contention in there. You know, if you go 2-4, they're definitely going to be looking up at a lot of teams, man. Last thing I want to touch on is going to be the American East. NJIT and Stony Brook got a split. So, you know, Stony Brook goes to 5-3 in the American East. Right now, man, UMBC sitting in first place in the American East, you know, at 6-2. Vermont is right behind them at 7-3, you know. So I think that obviously that NJIT and Stony Brook, man, you know, for NJIT, they go to 4-6, man. Surprisingly, this is their first year in the American East. And they're struggling so far a little bit, man. They're 4-6 right now. They really needed to try to get to over Stony Brook and really try to get to 5-5. They're really being you know, a little bit of a better position, you know. But you know, I think that, you know, one thing with NJIT, man, is their star, man, Zach Cooks, has been having a down year. He's only averaging 14 points per game this year so far, you know, in comparison to, you know, in the past. You know, last year he averaged basically 20 a game, 19.7. The year before that, yeah, he averaged 17.6. So, I mean, he basically averaged 20 and 18 the last 2 years, and right now he's at 14 a game, shooting 34% from the field, 31 from three. So, I think for NJIT to kind of get back in the picture in the American East, they're definitely going to need him to get back to that 20 points a game that he was scoring last year and the year before. So, you know, that remains to be seen. But nonetheless, you know, it looks like right now UMBC and Vermont are the two top teams. But I think Stony Brook definitely will have something to say about that by the end of the year.
Not for sure. I mean, I remember I played in that game our senior year at Quinnipiac. We played NJIT, and Zach Cooks, as a sophomore, had like 30 that game. He was absolutely torching everything walking that game. I mean, dude can score. So, I mean, it's really surprising to see him struggling like that. As you said, averaging 18 and 20 the last 2 years. I mean, it's extremely hard to do that on a Division I level. So to see him kind of struggling the way he is, I think that that's the very essence of the reason why they are struggling. They need him to be up in that 18 to 20 points per game range if they're going to compete in this league. Because I think they should be one of the top teams in this league. I think come tournament time, if they can get him going, if they can get him in the rhythm, they'll be a dangerous team come tournament time. They're playing UMBC this weekend. They're having UMBC at home this weekend. So they at worst have to come out with a split, I think, in that series this weekend. So definitely going to be something to keep an eye on, man. I think Cooks, Ali's an amazing player, man. So I think he'll get it going. You know, good players always find a way to come out of their slumps. I don't think he'll be anything different, man. The last few games that I wanted to talk about were, man, Furman, my Cinderella, my darlings, man. They dropped two this week. They lost at VMI and they lost at ETSU this week. So Furman is human. They are indeed mortal. They can lose games. They went, like I said, two road games, two tough in conference opponents, man. I mean, it is going to be hard to win games in your league on the road, man. Both of those games were road games, and they dropped both of them, man. So we have a new leader in the SoCon. Wolford is at 6-1 at the top of that league. ETSU is 5-1 as well. And then UNCG is 5-2. Furman is now 4-2. In the SoCon. I still think Furman is the team to beat in that league. You're not going to go undefeated in your conference, at least at the mid-major level, obviously, withstanding Gonzaga, because they're probably all going to go undefeated in their league, you know, barring anything unforeseen. But you're not going to go undefeated. So I think Furman, you know, this was a good time for them to take those losses. And obviously, ETSU is a very good team. If they're 5-1, they won 30 games last year. VMI also is a sneaky good team. They're sitting at 3-4 right now, but you know, I think it's one of those games where you know how it goes. You go on the road, you know, conference opponent. It's easy to kind of not have that energy. So Furman, man, they are mortal, man. They lost the game. I have a couple more I want to talk about, but what's your kind of thoughts on the SoCon?
Yeah, man, I want to say, man, how about ETSU, man? I mean, you know, they lose the head coach, Dean Forbes, to Wake Forest, lose tons of guys to graduation. They lost a transfer to Wake Forest as well. I mean, they're right back in the thick of things, man, 5-1, you know. So, I mean, that just speaks to, you know, that program over there, the guys in that locker room, you know, trying to, you know, keep the expectation over there high, man. But I definitely want to give them a shout-out, man, because, you know, anytime you kind of lose your head coach, it's like a changing of the guard there, man. Like I said, they had tons of guys that left, you know, either through graduation, you know, or via transfer as well. So, Definitely shout out to those guys, man, for you know, being 5-1 in that league right now.
Now for sure, man. In the other league down south, a different mid-major league down south, the Atlantic Sun, Lipscomb and FGCU split this weekend. I think those were two teams, two of the best three teams coming into the league. Everybody thought it was going to be the Liberty, Lipscomb, FGCU. FGCU has struggled a little bit just to start the conference season, man. I mean, right now they're sitting at 1-3. But before this weekend split with Lipscomb, they were 0-2. So they got their first win and got on the board, and the A-Sun got a split against Lipscomb, man. The A-Sun, I mean, I think we all agree that Liberty and Lipscomb are probably the two best teams. Lipscomb is currently sitting at 5-3, and Liberty's at 4-2. So North Alabama is in first place right now at 5-1. And then Bellarmine. Bellarmine is 4-2 at second place in the A-Sun right now. So, I mean, I think this is what their first, second, third season being D1. They haven't even been D1 for that long. And as of right now, they're off to a good start in A-Sun play. Obviously, they got swept by Lipscomb their first two games in the A-Sun. But then they went and swept FGCU the very next weekend. So, and then they got a sweep this weekend over Stetson. So, Bellarmine is a good team. They're going to be a player, but I think obviously Lipscomb and Liberty are the two best teams in that league. But it says something that you know these teams are kind of able to get these good wins, man. I mean, I think FGCU, that was big for them to get a split over Lipscomb. So, like I said, they're sitting at 1-3 in the A-Sun, but the A-Sun is an interesting conference, man. I think it's gonna be interesting to kind of see how that shakes out down the stretch.
No, for sure, man. I think definitely, man. It's you know, we saw Merrimack last year coming to the NEC, and I'm pretty sure they won the regular season, if I'm not mistaken, in the NEC last year. But obviously, you know, due to Division One, you know, I guess not a transfer, but you know, Division One rules, they weren't eligible for a tournament after winning the regular season, man. And now we're seeing, you know, the same thing down there in the A-Sun, man. So, hey, man, don't sleep on these D2s, man, because it's a lot of D2s that's sneaky, man. They'll definitely, you know, compete in a lot of mid-major Division One leagues, man. But nonetheless, man, we definitely want to get you guys over to that AJ Wilson interview. We had a lot of fun with my guy, man. So we're going to get you guys over to that interview now.
All righty, guys. We are here with George Mason Ford and the DMV's own AJ Wilson, also a good friend of ours. So, you know, without further ado, man, definitely want to tap in with my guy, AJ, man. AJ, man, how you been doing, bro?
Been good, man.
Oh, man. So we're going to go ahead and get right into it, man. You know what I'm saying? So, obviously, you know, for the people that don't know, AJ is a PG County guy. From the PG County area, grew up. Me, Drew, and AJ grew up, you know, hooping together a lot in the area. So for those of you who don't know, you know, I mean, AJ's the guy that, you know, played at PG County Public Schools, did the prep school route. I mean, and now he's over at George Mason. I mean, kind of walk us through your basketball journey, AJ. You know, growing up, you know, playing in PG County, going to the prep school, went to Montrose Christian for a year, and then obviously ended up at George Mason where you are now.
Started off high school at Bowie, didn't play there, I played JV, but didn't really get much playing time. Transferred to Duval. That summer I hit a growth spurt, went from like 6 foot to like 6'7" over one summer. Really kind of like came into my own game as far as just using my size against other people. Once I started blowing up a little bit, me and my family decided it was best to go to Montrose Christian. I was planning to stay there and graduate from Montrose, but then after that season, Pastor Fintress decided that there would no longer be a basketball program there, and shortly after, the whole entire school itself got shut down. So my next best route was going to prep school in Florida. Went to school down there, played against a lot of great competition. A lot of guys are in the NBA now. And from there, just took my talents to George Mason.
Now, you also played on the AU circuit with DC Premier, you know, formerly DC Assault. Kind of talk about your days, man, playing with Premier, some of the guys you were able to play with and against on the AU circuit.
Just playing with a lot of guys from Premier, with guys like Alani, Joe, DeJuan Clayton. Just played with a lot of great guys growing up. We were like probably like one of the first teams really emphasized small ball, with me playing the four and Joe playing the five, going against like a lot of 6'10", bigger guys. I feel like we really ran through the Under Armour circuit when we were all together. We went against guys like DeAndre Ayton, Josh Jackson, Terrence Ferguson, guys like those. So this the time I spent with DC Premier was really great.
Yeah, man. I remember that's Joe Hampton, who another DMV guy that was committed to Penn State, former top 100 guy. Lonnie Moore that played at Temple. For you guys that's listening, so AJ, man, if you could think back to, like, you know, one of your best games on the AAU circuit, like, you know, what would it be?
I would say when we were 16U playing against We Are One, Quad A Green and Trey Duval and Nasir Bush was on the team at the time. We were playing them in the Under Armour Finals in Atlanta. That game was probably like one of the most intense games in my life at the time, just because of the fact that it was a packed gym. We were considered rivals at the time, just because we always ended up playing against each other. And it was just intense because they're like, everybody was going at each other. Everybody was competing. I think we ended up losing that game in overtime. They didn't count Joe's shot to win the game or something like that. I forgot. But just the whole game was just intense. That was probably like one of the best games of my life.
Now, for those of you who do not know, AJ is one of the highest flyers out here right now. You know what I'm saying? He's a guy. Matter of fact, AJ, I'm going to let you tell this story. I mean, the infamous day at Spring Hill Lake Rec with my guy, AJ. We're playing at Spring Hill Lake Rec. I'll never forget this day. We're playing it was 3-on-3 or something.
It was 2-on-2.
To dunk the ball. And he hits his wrist on the backboard and starts gushing blood everywhere. Everybody starts panicking. You know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to stop there. Look, for the viewers, I'm going to tell y'all this. For those of you who don't know my guy, AJ's father. Father is one of the best guys out here, man. Has a great heart. AJ's father comes sprinting to the gym. And the first thing out of his mouth is, "Don't worry, son. We'll get you ready for the live period." Like...
Marquise Lee was there too with us, who played at Clemson. We was all in there hooping, man. I remember Keith's jaw hit the floor, man. But like I said, AJ, I'm gonna go ahead and let you tell the story that day, man.
Man, at the time, I was a young and trying to play with all the older guys. I remember it was in between live periods. So that's when like everybody was like doing camps, just working out and stuff. So I remember one morning, Pops told me like, "Get up, we gotta go work out with the older guys." Getting into Spring Hill, I see it's the Twins, Keith. Who else is in there? I don't think Linjo was in there.
Linjo was there, right?
Yeah.
Linjo was there.
B was there. Bones was there. And I remember I cut back door, saw my dunk. And I was hyped because, like, you know, I'm playing against older guys. I get a dunk. So I was just hyped. And then all of a sudden, I felt my fingers, like, tingling. I'm like, why are my fingers feel like this? I look down. my whole entire wrist is split open. I passed out instantly. Woke up from passing out. I didn't see B and my dad just like, get more towels. Man, that shit was crazy.
Man, that was definitely one of the funniest days, man. I just remember this. Your pop really sprinted into that gym. Man, first thing he said out of his mouth was, "No worries, so Miko, how you ready for the live period? Not how you feeling, not how's your real." It was, "No worries, so Miko, get you ready for the live period, man." And for my guy, I hope you're watching, man. Tony, we love you, you know what I'm saying? Drew and I, you know what I'm saying? AJ, we're all like family, man, so I can make fun of you, you know, on the podcast a little bit, man. But that was hilarious, man. And my guy, AJ, sure enough, was back for the live period, you know what I'm saying? And he was able to go out there and hoop. So all is well if it is well, man. But for you, though, I want to ask you about last year. Obviously, last year, you were able to win the A-10 Most Improved Player, had a breakout season. You were able to set the single-season record for blocks at George Mason. I mean, you're a guy that made a huge jump from sophomore. You averaged basically 3 points a game, and then last year you averaged 12-7 and won Most Improved Player. I mean, talk about kind of what went into your jump between, you know, your sophomore year and your junior year at George Mason.
Between those years, I feel like the biggest thing that helped me just make that jump was more so from a mental aspect. That summer, I played in the Kenner League, and I was kind of made like the forefront of the team that I was on, playing for Clyde's at the time, coached by Kurt Smith. So I just we ended up winning that whole kind of league. I got tournament MVP, and the whole time I was just in kill mode. So the biggest thing I just took from that summer was just stay consistent with just the animosity in the game and everything like that. So I just took that back into conference play, and I just told myself every game I played against pros, I played against better people that are across from me right now. So I just kept that mindset throughout the whole year. And then before you know it, it was the A-10 tournament. And that switched to kill mode even more. Last game of the season before we got shut down because of COVID, I had 24-9 and like four blocks. So I just felt like that summer just really helped me like separate myself mentally first before anything.
Yeah, man, and that was actually my first year playing in the Kennel League, man. I got to see you guys play, man. But like, for the people who don't know about, you know, the Kennel League and just like DMV basketball and things like that, man, there's a lot of history in the Kennel League. Guys like, you know, AI and Steve Francis is, Jeff Greens of the world, Kevin Durant, all these guys played in the Kennel League, you know, at one point or another in the DMV, man. But talk about for you, man, because I remember, you know, you won an MVP of the Kennel League that year and kind of putting everybody on notice. Kind of talk about just what that summer went, you know, kind of what that summer meant for you, and just kind of just, I guess, the whole summer league in the DMV culture, man, like, you know, what it means to kind of have to prove yourself in that summertime, you know, before going into your college season.
For me personally, the Kennel League meant a lot to me because growing up, my dad used to take me to watch those Jeff Green, you know, all those guys play and everything like that. So each year since my freshman year getting to play in the Kennel League, I just took it with the utmost seriousness just because of what it meant to me when I was a kid. So just playing, getting to play in the Kennel League was just something I always wanted to do as a kid. So every time I stepped on the floor that summer, the summers I played in the Kennel League, I just never took it for granted and just played as hard as I could.
You know, for those people who don't know, I mean, the Kennel League is one of the best probably pro-ams in the country. I mean, like I just said, if you're a kid in the DMV area and you play basketball, you've probably been to the Kennel League numerous times. But I mean, there's this aspect, you know, of summer basketball that people don't really understand. Like in the DMV, when everybody comes home from college and the pros come home, like them summer open gyms get real, man. I mean, I remember the summer going into our year where we was at, that's like, what year was that we were playing down Howard, Drew? That was going to our senior year at Quinnipiac, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we came down. I remember we were playing with, like, Austin Freeman and Hakeem Warwick and Dante Green and Chris Wright. I'm like, yo, I used to watch you dudes on TV. Like, I remember watching y'all in the Big East tournament and all of it, and now we hooping in the same open gym. Like, talk about kind of that culture of the DMV. I know you've experienced the same thing, obviously, in summer, every summer, you know, playing against pros and playing against the highest level of competition in the DMV. I mean, kind of talk about what you think that does for you as a competitor and how you think that's helped you, you know, to improve your game over the years.
Just seeing guys, like you guys said, just seeing guys you like grew up watching on TV, emulating your game after and everything like that, just seeing them on the same floor as you, competing against them, just makes you as a basketball player just feel like you're not that far off, especially since you're playing against pros and you're still in college. So as it changes you from a mental aspect, just because when you give back to against amongst your own peers, you just always tell yourself, I played against better and I've guarded better. So whoever this person is across from me, I'm about to fry them. I'm about to lock them up for real.
Facts. Now, I mean, we had Darius McGee on the podcast 2 weeks ago, man, and we were talking to him. He's the guy who plays at Liberty, man. And he was actually in the gym with us a couple of times, you know, at Spring Hill Lake, bumping with us, you know, with the whole E-Dawgs open run. Shout out my guy, Rick, man. But, I mean, we were talking to him about just kind of some of them open gyms, man. And you and I have been in tons of them. But just like guys like, you know, Markel came through the gym before, James Palmer, like – and Cowan, obviously guys like yourself, Marquise Reed, Stan Robinson. Like, I mean, them open runs used to get crazy in Spring Hill Lake, excuse me. Just kind of talk about that, man, just what it was like kind of just being in the gym and just looking back now, you know, 3-4 years later, man, you know, how special it was to be able to be like, yo, man, I really hooped against some crazy dudes in that small gym up in Greenbelt.
No, definitely playing those eat-ass runs with Rick and playing in Spring Hill, I feel like that's where I really just, like, really started appreciating just how much talent was around the way for real. And just, I feel like that and playing in Spring Hill and just playing in Kennel League, those two things I feel like really just helped change me mentally just because of the fact that across from you got somebody like Najee or Stan or Taiwan, just like somebody who's like a real bucket, like a pro is across the floor from you. So just like, you don't want to get exposed and at the same time you want to go at that person. So like, ain't nobody can really help you for real in those situations. So that really just makes you a different basketball player at the end of the day. So like just those runs and playing in Kennel League, I feel like those two things are just the biggest aspect for me in just like developing like a killer mindset.
No, for sure, man. I mean, I can't stress enough how much of a luxury it is. We kind of take it for granted here, you know what I'm saying? Just being able to walk into the gym, any given gym in the area, be able to find other Division I players, other pros, you know, just any gym. Because you go other places and it's not like that. Or, you know, you might have, like, one or two pros and the rest of the guys are kind of, like, washed up dudes that might used to play. But, I mean, at any given day, you can walk into any gym in the DMV area, you can find 3, 4, 5 pros like hooping, and it really does get you better because you have that chip on your shoulder. Like, if I can compete with these dudes, like, it's nobody in my college that's you know, saying gonna give me problems. But I want to switch gears a little bit to George Mason. I mean, obviously, right now you guys are sitting at 4-4 in the A-10. Last year, you guys only won 5 games in the A-10 the whole season. So, I mean, you guys have an opportunity, well, whatever you guys get to play in the next game, you can kind of get above 500 in the A-10 possibly. I mean, talk about the season that you guys are having thus far. How you think that's going for you guys as a team, and where do you guys think that you can go from here?
Well, I feel like early we just had a slow start just because we were coming off that shutdown, so we didn't really have everybody back at the same time. I feel like now, like these past couple of games, just having everybody click on the same page, team cohesiveness, and just everybody trusting each other and buying into the team mindset in general has just really been helping us like down the stretch, and us everybody trusting each other has really just been helping us like pull through and close games. Every game we've had this year has been a close game, besides like probably 1 or 2 games, but just the trust between everybody and just the cohesiveness has been what the biggest emphasis for us. And I feel like that's just going to help us like stay in stride throughout the rest of the season.
Now, you guys are a team that, you know, you guys are pretty balanced, man, from obviously being at tons of you guys' games down there in Fairfax, obviously with, you know, yourself and Josh and Jordan and Javon, I mean, and Tyler. You guys have a lot of guys that can score on any given night and may, you know, lead the team in scoring. Just talk about, you know, being on a team like that and just how balanced you guys are, and just kind of what do you think the dynamic is of you guys' team out there on the floor?
Just being on a well-balanced team like this where, like you guys said, just any given night, anybody can get off. It makes us a deadly team because you have to stay honest on everybody. One night, Javon can go out for 25, 30. The next night, Jordan can go out for 25. Next night, me or Josh could go off. So it just keeps teams honest and has to respect everybody across the board. And then with people coming off our bench, we have guys that give us a lot of energy as well. So that and just, again, just the team cohesiveness and the team trust, that just I feel like it's like a great equation for a great team down the stretch.
Now, talking a little bit about playing in the A-10, obviously the A-10 is one of the best leagues in the country, definitely on the East Coast. I mean, obviously the opportunity to be able to play against, you know, Obi Toppin last year at Dayton, and I mean, VCU was always loaded, obviously this year with Bones Highland, and, you know, year in, year out, there are teams in the A-10 that are just really good. It's one of the best conferences in the country, in my opinion. I mean, talk about, you know, what it's been like over the years to be able to play in that league against so many good players and so many good teams.
Like, well, for me, normally, like, just you see conferences where, like, the same two teams are always at the top every year. I feel like the A-10 is just one of those leagues where it's, like, any team could be in that top five any given year. Like, this year, like, last year, we all knew it was always going to be St. Louis or Dayton at the top. This year, St. Bonnie's, Davidson, and
Richmond.
And Richmond. Hmm. So, it's, like, this is one of those leagues where, like, it's always open. Like, it can go to anybody for it. And that just lets you know how competitive this league is.
Yep. Now, you know, for you, man, obviously, like I said, you even this year, man, you've from being able to watch you guys, man, Coach Paulson's been able to, you know, talk about how, you know, for a stress, but before you got injured in that game versus St. Joe's, I mean, you had put together a run where you, I think it had like 4 or 5 straight games where you were scoring double figures. Just kind of talk about, you know, your growth and your progression kind of from in the beginning, you know, where you're struggling a little bit to where, like, you're kind of now finding your groove, you know, you're shooting the ball pretty efficiently, rebounding and things like that.
Started the season off, I just kind of felt like I was in a rut just because very first game of the season, I had the ankle injury. After that, it was more so a mental uphill battle of just getting back to what I used to be. After talking to Simp, he just told me, just like, do what you do, control what you control. The main thing is just to stay consistent. And then after that, I just let go of like all my doubt and everything like that. And after that, that's when I started going on that run of just staying consistent, having double-digit games, 4 or 5 games in a row. Obviously, like the last 2 games, I was in one game, I was in foul trouble. The next game, I got hurt. So it was just more so just getting back to that consistency.
Yeah. You guys were scheduled to play UMass on Saturday, but, you know, as we got on this podcast, we see that, you know, that game, it might be in jeopardy, obviously, because of COVID. I mean, talk about what it's been like. Just obviously, you were supposed to play GW last night, and that game got canceled. I mean, talk about, you know, what it's been like as a player trying to navigate COVID and not knowing when they're going to be able to play, not knowing when they're going to be able to practice. What's that been like for you?
The main thing Coach Paulson's been telling us is just stay ready because you don't know what's going to happen. It's like across the league, you see a lot of games getting postponed, a lot of the schools getting postponed across the country. So the main thing that has been emphasized in our program is just to stay ready, just control what you can control. Obviously, for GW and UMass game, we can't control those. The only thing we know how to do is just practice and just get ready for what happens next.
Now, you're a guy, man, that, you know, it's not just, you know, scoring and rebounding, man, but you're I think one of the best things that you do is kind of protect the rim, you know, and block shots. And you're approaching George Mason's all-time record for blocks. You just had a game-saving block the other day that made SportsCenter top 10 plays the other day, man. So just talk about what you try to bring on the defensive end. And, like, you know, I saw you, man, that last play you ran from half court and just, you know, ran dude down for that block. What motivates you to kind of continue to do that in today's game when most guys are trying to, you know, go out there and get 30? They watching guys like Steph and Harden go out there and dribble the ball and shoot threes. But, I mean, you're a guy who really seems to pride himself on the defensive side of the ball.
I think it started early for me. I was younger, you know, my dad being from Ohio, we always used to watch LeBron. So when he was with Cleveland in his early days, just chasing everybody down, I was like, I want to do that. I don't want to be the guy that like goes out and dribbles the ball and all that other stuff. I found more excitement in like hawking somebody down and just putting their stuff on the glass. So then as I got older, more athletic, faster, taller, I just felt it was easier to kind of chase people down. And then as I became a better shot blocker as I got older, you know, blocking shots in the half court too, this became like a second nature to me.
Now, obviously, Drew just mentioned, you know, your block last week was able to make SportsCenter. I don't know how many times you've been on SportsCenter, but there's been a numerous amount of A.J. Wilson's SportsCenter top 10 appearances. I mean, if you could kind of think back on all the plays you made, bodies, I've seen you catch YouTube bodies and all type of crazy stuff. I mean, is there a particular play that sticks out like, yeah, man, that's the one. Like, this is my favorite block or my favorite body that I caught, or, you know, going back to memory books, is there one that stands out to you?
I wouldn't say last year when we played Dayton, just because of the putback I had, just because of the game I had in general. That putback, after I had that putback, I remember Obi telling me, like, yo, that was crazy. So, like, just having that putback, I was like, yo, somebody got more bounce than me, acknowledge my dunks. That's kind of tough for real. But now I think that was, like, my best SportsCenter moment just because it was, like, a out-of-place rebound. Like, I had to catch the ball going away from the basket and still dunked it. And I did it with one hand. So I feel like that was like one of my best putback dunks too. And on top of being on SportsCenter. So I feel like that was my best moment.
That's tough, man. Now, you know, for you, man, like, what would it mean for you, man, to kind of be able to put your name, you know, in the record books at George Mason, you know, at the top of that blocks category?
That would mean everything to me just because, like, I've been here 5 years. Just talking to everybody that's been here for so long, just telling me how great of a player George Evan was. And you look in the record books, I think he's, like, top 20 in pretty much every statistical category that there is. I know I already beat one of his records with a single season. I think I beat another two of his records with most blocks in a Eagle Bank Arena home game. I had 8 blocks my freshman year and 6 blocks versus St. Joseph's. This past home game. So just being like, I think like 12 or 13 blocks away from his all-time record, and this record hasn't been beaten in years, I just feel like that just solidifies my name in history here.
Mm. Now, what are your personal goals as a player? Like when you look at, all right, this legacy that I want to leave, you know, what comes to mind in your head?
Every time I play, I just want to be recognized as, if not the best player on the floor, one of the best players on the floor. I don't want to ever get off the floor after a game and no one knows that I didn't make an impact in the game at some point.
Yep. Now, man, George Mason is a program that has tons of history. Obviously, you know, reaching the Final Four. It's been a great history of local guys going there as well, man. Guys like Fowler and Campbell, who was a Springbrook alum. Shout out to the Blue Devils. A guy like Tony Skin, who was another local guy that was on that Final Four team. You know, a coach on your staff, you know, Coach Ike, local guy, went to DeMatha, went to George Mason. And obviously, you know, yourself, you guys got Ronald Plight now on the roster. I mean, just talk about, you know, what it means for you, man, to kind of be a local guy, you know, playing for George Mason at a school that has, you know, so much basketball tradition.
when I first committed to Mason, I was like one of the first local guys in a minute. So I just felt like I was being a trailblazer committing to Mason and just bringing back that local tradition. And since I've been here, I've had a lot more local guys coming back. You got Ronnie, you have Jordan Miller, Jack Temption, who's a known walk-on. Who else do we have? We just have like a lot of DMV guys on the team now. And my freshman year, and even my sophomore year, that wasn't the case. It would probably be like one or two guys from the DMV. Even my freshman year, I was probably like the only person really from the immediate DMV area. Justin Kyer was from Harrisonburg, but that's like 2 hours away. So just committing here, I felt like was me like kind of just setting like a blazing the trail. Just like, you don't have to be at a Maryland or a Georgetown or Howard just to stay local. Like there's a lot of schools out here other than those major schools.
My guy Jack is a MoCo guy. I gotta make sure I shout out my guy Jack Temskin, man. MoCo product, you know. Gotta shout out all my MoCo guys on the podcast for sure, man. But I want to take a little step back to your prep school time, because obviously when you were at Elevate down in Florida, you guys had a pretty stacked squad. Obviously, me and Drew were at Putnam Science Academy up in Connecticut. For those that don't know, man, that prep school life is a lot different than any other situation, you know what I'm saying, in basketball, man. I mean, it's not like a JUCO. It's just different, man. So, I mean, explain to us your prep school experience at Elevate and what that was like for you.
It was definitely different for me. I'm used to going home after school every day. I feel like it kind of got me ready for college in the sense of, like, after practice, you go back to your dorm with your guys and everything like that. But it was definitely different in the sense of, like, we weren't an IMG or, like, a Montverde. So, like, you getting, like, the top-tier stuff. Like, after a couple of games, you probably get, like, a cold-cut sandwich or something like that. Call it a day. Cafeteria closed on the weekends. So they probably gave you, like, a meal card or something like that to eat somewhere locally. But it definitely changes you from a mindset standpoint, just for the fact that, like, I'm from Maryland. Before then, I never lived anywhere else in my life other than Maryland. So just being away – being like 9 to 4, how far for, like 10 hours away, 11 hours away, just being that far away from like your family, just being out there by yourself with a bunch of guys you don't know, like it was definitely different. And at the time I was the youngest on the team because everybody else is post-grad. I'm the only like true senior on the team. So it definitely changes you, makes you grow up faster.
Yo, man, I mean, shoot, I can't make this up, yo. Because people that hear this podcast are going to think I'm lying. It was multiple times after our games at PSA where we got $5 to go to McDonald's. I can't make this up. Yo, we got $5 a piece. Now, mind you, this is 2015. So, like, you know, I'm sure everybody knows back in the day, the dollar menu used to be popping. Like, you could really get – you had $5. You was in business at McDonald's back in the day. You feel me? But in 2015, you know, inflation, they took the McDouble off of there. Like, I mean – $5, you couldn't, you not getting nothing every dollar for $5. Like, I mean, we used to order food and be like, yo, let me get your change, bro. It was 46, let me get that 14 cents off you, bro. You were trying to order last, yo. It was, so I mean, you, man, hey, consider yourself lucky, man. I had them cold cuts, man, because I mean, like, $5, man, we were still starving after our games.
Nah, word, too. He was really on a dollar menu trying to make – yo, real rap dudes really used to be trying to – oh, hey, bro, let me hold that 46 cent. Hey, bro, let me hold 50 cent. Oh, I got $9. Now I got $6. I'm lit. Now I can give me a sweet tea. Nah, hey, yo, times was treacherous at Putnam, bro. We had that little cheese bus. Mind you, bro, we had a short bus. So it was like maybe like 6 rows. Mind you, we had to fit the players, the coaches on the bus. Mind you, we had Mamadou who like 6'8", Vincent like 6'9". Me, Drew was like 6'5", 6'6", at the time, bro. Dude literally used to fight over the bus seats. I like not. I'll tell a quick story on here. One day we were at Putnam, we were going to go play at the UMass Boston showcase, and we were going to play. I forgot who
we were going to play. Redemption.
We're supposed to play Redemption. Yep. Supposed to play Northfield, my homer, but they ducked us that weekend, so we ended up playing Redemption. We were on the getting ready to go on the bus. And I'll never forget. Everybody used to try to get to the bus early to get them seats so you could get situated. So Keelan Ives, my guy Keelan, played that ride. He's like a 5'9 point guard from Rhode Island. He's on the bus first. He's like, yo, I'm getting on the bus first. I'm going to get my seat. Sits in the last row in the aisle. So everybody comes, piles on. Everybody's sitting down, getting their seats, whatever. Last person on the bus is my guy, Mamadou Diarra. He's a New York guy from Queens. You know what I'm saying? Like, he played at UConn. Now he's coaching and whatnot over at UConn. But He gets on the bus last. And my dude, this dude is 6'8". The only seat on the bus left is a window seat in the back row next to Keelan. So he walks to the back. He's like, nudges Keelan. He's waiting for Keelan to scoot over. Keelan do one of these, like, get up in there. Like, go ahead. Get on the inside. I'm like, bro, scoot over, bro. He like, bro, I got here first. I'm on the outside. Like, I was the first person on the bus. Like, you should have got here earlier. But he's like, dog, I'm not sitting on the inside, bro. I'm 6'9". I'm not sitting on the inside. You 5'9", bro. You're not doing this. Like, scoot over, bro. Kenny was like, nah, bro. Like, nah, I'm not moving, bro. Like, I got here first. Like, I'm not moving. Mom was like, yo, bro, hold my bag. Give this bag to one of my forwards named Don J. Rose. Hold this. He tries to, like, battery ram Keelan like into the window. So now Keelan like, nah, like they back there real life fighting, bro, like fighting, bro. So the dude Dondre that grabbed Mamadou's backpack is now trying to break up the fight. He's like, no, nah, chill, I break up the fight. Mamadou like, I don't know who hit him. I ain't gonna say Mamadou, I don't know who hit him. Somebody punched him. So now his lip is bleeding. Coaches come on the bus. Matter of fact, no, coaches come out to school. Keelan's outside. Mamadou's outside. Nah, F that. Keelan trying to fight. Bro, Dondre come up the bus, lip busted, gushing blood. Coach like, yo, what happened, bro? They were on the bus. Mind you, they come out to school and see Keelan purping. Dondre lip busted. Like, yo, what's going on, bro? So, long story short, man, the prep school days was wild. Dudes was fighting over bus seats and getting $5 allowance at McDonald's, man. So, if you went to prep school, though, man.
That was a long time ago. That was like 2015, 2021. You know, now Putnam done got two natty chips. They got some new dorms. They played in the Bahamas. So, you know, Putnam is not the same Putnam that it was when we was there. You know, they got a whole new owner. You know, Chinese guys is in there that's throwing money into the program, man. So, you know, I want to say, man, any prep school recruit listening to this, Putnam Science Academy is a great place for you guys to go and spend your prep year at now. You know, I don't want you guys to think, you know, you're going to go up there and you're going to get lip busted. You know, we don't want to throw that out in the air. But I will say, man, you know, back when we was there, it was a little bit different. We had some blue-collar dudes up there. Yeah, I don't know if they had any experience like that at Elevate, man, but it was crazy up there, man.
I mean, we was like 3 miles from the beach. That's the only really plus side. I didn't even leave my room for real. Like, I didn't know the area. Most I do, probably not get bored, go to LA Fitness, get some fives in with a local guy, something like that. But we had the rinky dink vans. Them joints just shut down. That shit, we had to drive to Mount Vernon one time. The joint was like probably like 3 hours away or something like that. We broke down in the middle of the highway. People did, and then the AC didn't work either because we had the old vans.
Man, prep school is the grind. A lot of people don't know, man. Prep school is a grind, man. But, you know, it will get you better, man. Definitely, like I said, man, AJ obviously benefited from it. Me and Ace benefited from it. My guy Hamadou Diallo went from Putnam Science Academy with us all the way to the league. You know what I'm saying? So it works out, man. But, you know, AJ, man, we definitely got to – we ask this question to everybody, man. You know, give us, man, we need – I need you to give us, man, your top five in the league right now. Top five in the league right now, man. I need you to go from – well, matter of fact, let's go from 5 to 1, you know, and let's go ahead and do that. We got to get that from you.
Top five, I would say. Jeez, this is crazy. I would say. I'm gonna say AD, Giannis. AD Giannis. Brad. Brad. KD, then LeBron.
You got Brad Beal third in the league?
Only behind KD and Bron, bro.
What?
Brad going crazy though, bro. I ain't gonna hold you, bro.
Wait, so Brad Beal over AD and Freak?
Brad Beal over Harden?
Luka? Yeah.
He over Steph Curry?
Bro, Steph just got back, bro. I can't
get through. Oh my god. Yo. Oh my god. Yeah, this guy is DMV to the core. Of course he's gonna put the Wizards best player in his top five. So I gotta respect
loyalty, though. I respect loyalty, man. As long as you're smart, you know, you got LeBron James number one. You know, I can't have too many problems with the list, but hey man, like I said, I respect the loyalty for at least, you know, going with the Wizards guy at three. You know, I don't know how many guys would agree with you, but, you know, hey, man, I respect it nonetheless.
Yeah, AJ might be a lone survivor on that island. My man still feel at three. Not even the humble fifth. Like, he put him at three, though. Behind brother KD. He didn't even give him the humble five. Like, I'm going to throw my man there off the muscle. Like, he threw him in there at three. Like, yeah, my man is stamped out here. Like, left no doubt. Yo, I respect it, man. I respect it, man. I ain't going to get mad at you, you know. Like I said, I'm loyalty to the home team, man. That's a real one right there, man. You don't see that too often, man. So take some notes, folks. But this has been fun, man. I want to make sure we definitely thank you for coming on with us, AJ. Man, we appreciate you. Obviously, we're going to be, you know, me and Drew get down to Mason games, you know, pretty often. So I'm sure we'll see you soon, you know, barring any COVID shutdowns. But, you know, thanks a lot for coming on with us, man. We're super proud of you, everything you've been able to do in your college career at Mason, man. And, you know, Drew and I definitely going to keep, you know, supporting you and keep watching you from afar, man. So best of luck, buddy.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir, man. Hey, man, go and get that Blocks record, man. We need that.
Gotcha.
All righty, my guy. We'll talk to you.
All right.
All righty, guys. That was my guy, AJ Wilson, man, the SC Top 10 guy himself. If y'all haven't seen some of his highlights on Sports Center Top 10, man, just go ahead and do a little YouTube search, man. Put my guy's name in. You know, you'll see some crazy blocks, some crazy dunks, man. Super athletic guy, man. But a better kid, man. He's definitely somebody who's, you know, when you see him on the court, man, he's a great player, man. But he's an even better person, man. He's, you know, just great guy off the court. You know, he's funny. He's laid back. He's not one of those guys that's gonna, you know, cause your program any kind of trouble, man. So, you know, super shout out to AJ, man, for hopping on with us and taking a stroll down memory lane with us.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, AJ, like you said earlier, I mean, the only thing we gave his bounce enough credit in the show. I mean, that dude's an NBA level athlete for sure. I mean, that dude. Over there, I've seen him do some dunks, catch some oops, block some shots. It's like, yo, how in the world? I wish I had half of his bounce. You know, I mean, I'm a guy, I barely get up the ground. My dunk package is very minimal. You know, I'll give you a little cock back two hand. I'll give you a little off the glass. You know, I might cock it back one hand. You know what I'm saying? All off 2 feet. I'm not a 1 foot jumper. I wish I had 1 foot bounce because I can really do damage if I had 1 foot bounce. I did catch a body off 1 foot, though, in Quinnipiac spring workouts 1 year over my guy Slinky. I'll never forget that. That was my proudest moment ever. Caught a body off 1 foot going down the middle of the lane. You know what I'm saying? Slinky got some bounce. So I will say that if I could just borrow like half of AJ Wilson's bounce, you know, I think I could have really done something. You know, I think I really could have been, you know, a different level player, you know, if I had a little bit more bounce. You know what I'm saying? That and the ability to close out. You know, I think those two were things that really hampered me from being a first round lottery pick in the NBA draft.
Hey, man, I feel you, man. You know, everybody can't have bounce like me and AJ, you know, got guys like us, you know, we play above the rim, you know, so I understand the struggle for guys like yourself, man. You know, it's all right, though. You know, it's all right, Ace.
Did you say above the rim? Did you say you play above the rim? And I know I didn't. That might have been. Need I remind you? That means you had the same amount of career dunks, and I got mine before you did. I got mine about a year. I might have got mine 2 years before you did. I got mine. Did I get my dunk my 2 years? My junior, I got my first career dunk my junior year of college. You didn't get yours to your post-grad year at Coppin. We both have one career dunk.
That's actually not true. I actually had tons of dunks in my high school career. Go check out my
I'm talking about college, fool. We're talking about college.
Rebound, breakout camp.
We're not talking about no high school.
Tons of dunks.
We're talking about college.
Y'all do y'all Googles. Y'all can see me getting real bouncy, man, you know?
In NCAA Division I game, we had the same number of dunks. So I don't want to hear none of that above the rim nonsense. I really don't. I don't want to hear it.
Check out my highlight tape, man.
Yeah. It sounds good, man. If y'all want to go look at a mediocre highlight tape, you can look at it. But if you want to look at a real highlight tape, snatching ankles, handle dudes, you know, flying all over the court, go look at mine. You know what I'm saying? Ann Robinson, Capital Hoops mixtape. It's on the line. One thing we didn't get to talk about before the interview that I definitely want to talk about. A little bit of the Missouri Valley. That league is becoming a bit more increasingly intriguing as the year goes on. I mean, obviously Drake survived last night, beats Murray State. I think, you know, before the game started earlier in the morning, I put them on upset alert because obviously they were coming off a pause. They're playing a Missouri State team on the road who had won 5 straight games. And MSU, the first half of that game, looked like a team that was riding a 5-game win streak where Drake looked like a team that was coming off pause. I mean, they were taking out to a 17-point lead. They were making shots at a high clip, and Drake really couldn't really find a rhythm offensively. But that second half, man, Drake Drake really turned it up. Darnell Brody had a huge game with 16 points and 9 rebounds. Roman Penn, 20 points for Drake. I mean, that Roman Penn, Sienna. Yep. Roman Penn. Yes.
Like,
yep.
What?
Who's crazy, Sienna, man. You see, he was at Sienna. For all my Mac Hoops fans watching this game, Roman Penn was at Sienna a few years ago, and he's now at Drake. And he had a huge game last night for them with 20 points in a win over Missouri State, who came back from 17 points down to beat Missouri State. That just shows you that Drake is legitimate. I mean, they're an older team, experienced team. Their average age, I thought it was last night during the broadcast, their average age is 21.3. So they're an old team. As we know, old wins in college basketball, especially at the mid-major level. So Drake gets to 14-0 with a win against Missouri State. But Loyola Chicago, the team that's coming, I mean, they swept Bradley this weekend, and Bradley is a sneaky good team. I mean, they aren't going to wow you with their record. I mean, they're sitting at 9-7 overall. They had some decent wins in the non-conference. If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure they have a win against Northern Iowa, I want to say early in the year, who's struggling a little bit. But I'm pretty sure they have another pretty good non-conference win, if I remember correctly. But Loyola Chicago is at 8-1 right now in the Missouri Valley, man. And they are a team, obviously, with Final Four pedigree, like we all know this. Very, very extremely well-coached team. But, you know, they're going to be a team that is going to be there. They've won their last seven games? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They won 6 games in a row. Obviously, they're going to play Drake. Well, they're going to play Drake February 13th to 14th. So we got a few weeks before that showdown. But, I mean, I think those two teams are definitely the best two teams in the Missouri Valley. I think we're approaching the point where we could potentially get two teams. That could be a two-bit league. Come Selection Sunday because of the respect that Missouri – that the committee has for Missouri State. And even with Drake going undefeated, I mean – they can potentially get an at-large bid if they were to trip up and lose with Loyola Chicago in the conference tournament. So the Missouri Valley is going to be a sneaky good league to watch. And again, tonight, Drake and Missouri State are going to run it back at 9 p.m. at Missouri State. So make sure you guys tune into that game. But that is a sneaky good league, and a league that's going to be interesting coming down the stretch to see, you know, what happens between Loyola Chicago and Drake.
Nah, man, very well stated there, man. It's crazy that you got, you know, a guy like Roman Penn, you know, a former Sienna guy, and then a guy like Darnell Brody, you know, former Seton Hall big man. You got two transfers, man. So, you know, in our coaches' corner segment that we did over the quarantine, man, I can't stress the amount of coaches that stated that, you know, they were going to hit that portal hard and, you know, get transfers, man. And we're seeing all across college basketball, man, especially at the mid-major level. You know, when, like you mentioned, man, in order for you to really separate yourself at the mid-major level, you have to have older guys and experienced guys. And, you know, for a team, you know, like Drake to have, you know, two transfers, you know, two guys who have been in college for a while, and, you know, now we're seeing, you know, we're seeing them have a tremendous amount of success. You know, it definitely says a lot, man. But I want to go ahead and get to the craziest things that we saw this weekend, man. So, Ace, man, what you got for me?
Yeah, man, for sure. Like I said, earlier in the show, we're going to get back to it a little later. My guys down in West Baltimore and Coppin State snapped a 14-game losing streak to sweep Norfolk State over the weekend in West Baltimore. Now, for those of you who might not understand, like, Norfolk State has been historically one of the best teams in the MEAC. They've been in the NCAA tournament. They have a guy in Kyle O'Quinn that's played in the NBA. They have an extremely, extremely good basketball culture over there, extremely well-coached team, and they've kind of owned Coppin State, you know, for the better part of about 6 or 7 years. I mean, they had won 14 straight games against Coppin State. And Coppin State, man, they didn't care about none of that. I mean, obviously, as you know from playing them last year, but like I said earlier, there's a strong disdain between coaches, between players. I mean, that is a rivalry for sure. I mean, and you could tell as soon as we walked in the gym, man. I mean, it was a bit, you know, more bouncing the steps of all the players. Guys on both benches were standing up throughout the entirety of the game. There was a little scuffle, you know, between players and coaches drawing back and forth. I mean, that game was intense. It felt like it was a rivalry game, and Coppin State was able to get two at home over Norfolk State to get to 5-1 in first place in the MEAC North. My guy Anthony Tuck caught a crazy body coming down the lane. I mean, they were highlight plays galore. I mean, that was a statement win for them to not only get to first place in the MEAC, but to do it against Norfolk State, a team that had historically, you know, kind of had the upper hand on them in the past. Was a huge win for Coppin State to be able to go and sweep Norfolk State. They're going to play them again, not this weekend, but the next weekend at Norfolk State. So I had to shout that out, man. Snapped the 14-game winning streak, getting off that slide against Norfolk State, man. It was great to see.
Yeah, man, anytime you can snap a 14-game losing streak, man, and get back in the win column is amazing, man. And not only did they snap the win streak, but they got two. You know, so now they started their own little win streak of their own, man. But, you know, to give you guys a little context, I mean, this is a Norfolk State team that we were literally – like, after we got the notification that our conference tournament was canceled, like, yo, we was texting dudes on Norfolk, like, because we, you know, everybody got connections. We were texting, like, yo, like, let's still play the game. Like let's meet up at y'all school and just run fives. Like, because I don't care if it's the MEAC tournament. I don't care if it's the outside league. I don't care if it's pickup. We want to see y'all. Like, we want to see y'all. Like, so we literally were trying to organize a game behind the scenes against Norfolk that day. Like that's how crazy the rivalry is between, you know, Coppin and Norfolk. It's not like it's like a Coppin and Morgan where it's more like territorial. It's more like, yo, we don't like y'all. Y'all don't like us. Let's get it popping. So it's like every time we see them, it's one of those games, man. So we was ready to see them last year. You know, I still you know, stand firm on my prediction that we would have seen them in that conference tournament. We was gonna send them packing, you know. But it's all good because my guys avenged us this year and got two, you know, against Norfolk, man. So, you know, shout out to my guys at Coppin, man. You know, Coach Dixon, Coach Alexander, Coach Agumagu, Coach Hayes, man. Those guys are doing a great job over there, man. You know, so definitely shout out to you guys, man, for getting that done.
Not for sure, man. Shout out to my guys at Coppin. They got a huge game this weekend against Morgan State, which, like Drew said, is our cross-town rivals over there from the east side of Baltimore, you know what I'm saying, over east in Baltimore lingo. So that's going to be a huge game. Me and Drew will be there this weekend for Coppin State and Morgan State. But some other games to look forward to this weekend. The games you Coppin State and Morgan State, it's crazy. Right now, as we're recording this, I see a notification that Davidson has paused all basketball-related activities due to COVID-19. Davidson was supposed to play St. Bonaventure this Saturday at 2 p.m. So I'm presuming that that's going to be off now that Davidson has paused all activities for COVID. So that was going to be a big time showdown in the A-10. Those are currently the two top teams in the standings. St. Bonaventure is one and Davidson is two. So that was gonna be a team, a battle of the top two teams in the A-10. But Davidson, literally as we're recording this episode, announced that they're gonna go on pause due to COVID-19.
I mean, one minute ago, you were on top of that, huh?
Of course, man. You know I stay on. You know I stay on it, baby. You know what I'm saying? I get notifications from my guy Rothstein, you know, Goodman, all those guys. Got to stay up to date, man. You know, so. That literally came in, like Drew said, a minute ago as we're talking here on this podcast. But I mentioned it earlier, Drake and Missouri State are going to play tonight at 9 p.m. in game two of that back-to-back series in the Missouri Valley. That's definitely going to be a great one to watch. It was a great game last night. I think Drake's going to be able to get this win because just the way that Missouri State lost that game last night, had a 17-point lead over a team that's been playing well. Those losses can be demoralizing. We saw it last week as Quinnipiac blew a 7-point lead in the last minute and a half of the game, 8-point lead up a minute and a half, and a game they completely owned, and then they lost in the next night. And when you lose those type games on night one, it's extremely hard mentally and emotionally to get back and get that win game two. So I think if Drake was going to lose, it was going to be that first one coming off a pause. And they were able to get the win. So I think, but nonetheless, the game has to be played. So tonight, 9 p.m., Drake at Missouri State, round two. We're also going to see UNC Asheville and Winthrop are going to play Thursday and Friday. After Winthrop was another team that's still undefeated out of the Big South. UNC Asheville is currently third in the Big South, though. Radford second. So those are going to be a matchup with two of the top three teams in that league. It's going to be at Winthrop, though. So I don't really see UNC Asheville. I mean, they could probably get one. Let me not do that. But I think Winthrop is a team that is playing really, really well right now. Chandler Vodrin was one of the names that I don't know if enough people are talking about. He's averaging, I think, about 12-7-7, 12-8-7, something like that. He's averaging almost a triple-double. He's like a 6'8 guard. And he's definitely a problem, man. Lefty, smooth. So he's a player that is the type of guy that can definitely, you know, carry a team to some wins. So UNC Asheville is playing at Winthrop Thursday and Friday. Then out to the Mountain West, we're going to have two games this weekend. Boise State gonna play at Colorado State tonight and then Friday. Obviously, those are two of the top four teams in that league. They're gonna go head-to-head this weekend and see, you know, I think Boise State right now is a better team, but they're going on the road to Colorado State. So I definitely don't see them sweeping that series. I think a split could be something that definitely, you know, is in order. And then we're going to have like tonight, 11 p.m., Utah State at UNLV. UNLV pulled the upset, the other night. We're going to get a chance to avenge that loss tonight at 11 p.m. Definitely tune into that game if you're up, if you're somebody that likes to stay up late. And then Colgate Army is running it back in the Patriot League Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, they got the split. That was that bizarre series where Colgate won the first game by 40, 101-57, and then they lost on night two to Army. So they're going to run it back this weekend in the Patriot League. Two of the best teams in that league are going to play. So those are, you know, my games to watch this weekend.
Now, for sure, man, I think, you know, going back to that 8-10, man, it's a shame that we weren't going to see St. Bonnie's and Davidson, man, because, you know, that was going to be a great game. And obviously, like you mentioned, the two top teams in the league. I think I saw a tweet from John Rothstein yesterday. I think Kellen Grady is averaging over 20 points a game in his last, you know, four games, I want to say, man. He's really starting to catch his stride for Davidson, man, so that was going to be a great game. But nonetheless, we have St. Louis is going to go to Richmond on Friday at 6:30, man. A matchup of the top two teams in the A-10 when it came to the preseason. You know, obviously, both of these teams have kind of came upon, you know, rough patches lately. Obviously, St. Louis having that pause and then taking a loss to Dayton. And then Richmond, you know, suffering a loss to the South at home. You know, they were able to rebound and got a win over St. Joe's, you know. But it's kind of unfortunate that these two teams are playing each other right now when it's like, you know, you don't really want St. Louis to take that second straight loss because then that's going to drop them out of the top 25. Obviously, they're probably going to drop out regardless. You know, that's when you're going to kind of put a damper on their season. If they lose another game, you know, their second in a row after coming off pause. Man, Richmond, like we mentioned, man, I mean, they can't take too many more losses, period. You know, so, you know, it's kind of a weird timing for this game. But nonetheless, Friday, 6:30, St. Louis, Richmond, going to be some great basketball played in that one. Then we got going to have UMass and George Mason. You know, UMass traveling to George Mason. Mason's going to have a chance to move above 500 in conference play for the first time this season, man. So a sneaky bunch in the Patriots, man. I think Dave Paulson has done a good job coaching those guys, man, and getting them back on the right track as of late, man. So those are my games to watch in the A-10. You know, in the MAC, we're going to have Manhattan at St. Peter's, which is definitely going to be an interesting series. You know, two very good teams, two very talented teams, two great defensive teams, I might say. St. Peter's, we all know, has the ability to kind of hold teams in that 40 to 50 range. And, you know, Manhattan has won a game like that as well. They beat Quinnipiac in a game that was in the 40s earlier this season. So, you know, that might be another rock fight this weekend, Manhattan and St. Peter's.
Book that. I can almost guarantee you one of them games are going to be played in the 40s, at least one, if not both, of them games are going to be played in the 40s. I can almost guarantee it.
Literally. So that's going to be a good game to watch. Not a good game to watch, you know, but it's going to be a pivotal game in the MAC. But you're also going to have Monmouth and Niagara. You know, Monmouth actually got paused. So, you know, according to ESPN, this game is supposed to be played, Monmouth at Niagara. And they're going to have Quinnipiac at Canisius in a game that, you know, like I said, man, we're waiting for this Quinnipiac team to really get going. You know, they've gotten a surprise, you know, for freshman Louis Courtright, who's kind of come back from injury and played very well off the bench. Brendan McGuire just had a career high the other night, 19 points and 10 rebounds. So, I mean, Quinnipiac with you know, Brendan McGuire off the bench, Courtright off the bench, Jamil Riggins had a great game off the bench with Quinnipiac. You know, so I think we just need a little bit more consistent play, you know, from guys like Tyrese Williams in the starting lineup, man. But, you know, I think that, you know, as you know, man, from playing for Coach Dunleavy, man, that's a team that usually, you know, gets better as the season goes on, man. So, you know, I'm just really just waiting for that team to really explode, man, and break through and get to. I know it's going to come. You know, it's, I don't know if it'll be this weekend just because, you know how hard it is to win in Buffalo regardless, let alone winning two in a row in Buffalo. So, you know, but nonetheless, those are my games that I have penciled on my calendar for this weekend.
Yeah, and Canisius is coming off pause, so that's gonna be something to watch. They haven't played a game since January 2nd in that series that they swept St. Peter's. So that's definitely gonna be an interesting game, interesting series to kind of keep an eye on. Because Canisius is a good team, man. I mean, they're sitting at 3-3 in the MAC. But, you know, when you're coming off par, you haven't played in, you know, the better part for almost a month, honestly. I mean, it was January 1st and 2nd. This game is January 30th and 31st. So it's been almost a month since they played a basketball game. Quinnipiac, obviously, is back from their part. They've played a consecutive weekend, man. So I think Quinnipiac has a good chance to definitely steal that first one. I think if they lose the first one, it's going to be tough. But I think if they can get that first one for sure, they'll be in play. I mean, you know, if you get that first one on the back-to-back, that confidence can do a lot for you in game two. So I think Quinnipiac, I mean, we said last week, you can't get swept. You can't get swept just because you only want to kind of stay afloat in the standings. I mean, a win will get you, a split will get you to 3-5. Getting swept would put you at 2-6, and you'd be last place in the league. So that's definitely going to be a game to watch. As you said, it's extremely hard to win in Buffalo, and it's cold, man. It's late January. It's going to be freezing cold over there in Buffalo, man. So definitely will be intriguing to kind of see what happens with that matchup, man. But we'd be remiss if we didn't mention, we mentioned a little bit earlier, but Cobb and Morgan, the Battle of East and West Baltimore this weekend. Me and Drew will be there live in action, man. That's going to be a great game. Two rivals, two historic NEAC Baltimore teams, man. Can't wait to get over and watch that one, man. So I'm looking forward to this weekend in college basketball, man. There's a lot of good games on the high major and mid major schedule for this athlete. This weekend also the SEC Big 12 Challenge. So there's going to be some great basketball all around this weekend, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, sure, I'm surprised, man. It's the first podcast that we did not mention Gonzaga at all. I don't think we might have mentioned them briefly when we were talking about teams that go undefeated, man. But, you know, I think that this is definitely a record, man. You know, so, hey, man, you know, from our Gonzaga listeners out there, if you guys are out there, man, you know, we're sorry. We'll get back with you guys, you know, next week. Nothing much to see here. We know what they're doing out there on the West Coast. You know, they're running through the conference. You know, like I said, I don't really see them losing anytime soon. But, you know, I know for our Gonzaga stands out there that might tune in this podcast to hear us rave about the Bulldogs, you know, they didn't get that in this podcast. But nonetheless, I'm sure we'll be seeing them very soon.
For sure, man. So that's going to be it for us, man. As always, make sure you like, subscribe, share, tell a friend to tell a friend, man. Spread that good gospel about the auto bid. Make sure you follow us on social media at All Facts Media. On Instagram at All Facts Media, on YouTube at All Facts Media. Website is allfactsmediainc.com. Make sure you guys tune into all of our content, man. Spread that good gospel about All Facts. Maybe help us keep growing this thing. We appreciate every viewer, every listener, everybody that retweets our content, shares our content on your social media pages. It really does help, and it really does go a long way. So we appreciate all of you guys, man. Until next time, we're going to let my guy pull up Tay, take us out with that good crank. See you next week, folks. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.